Paddy, how you doing? And
Dave.
Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good. Now, Paddy McKenna, first of all, is here just to talk about something to do specifically with movies. We want to talk movies now, as we often do at this time. But what's your thing, Paddy?
Yeah, well, it is movies. It's hashtag Goodwill Screening. It's 22 cinemas across Ireland that are going to be showing Goodwill Hunting on Tuesday, August 26th. So that's Tuesday week at 6:30 p.m. Basically, obviously, it's a way to remember the biggest acting talents of our generation, Robin Williams. And it's in conjunction with Omniplex.ie. So there's 22 screens across Ireland that are simultaneously going to screen Goodwill Hunting. I've got a list of them, but it's all over the country. If you want to log on to Omniplex.ie, have a little search through the events and you can log on. All the proceeds from all the movies, and I think there's 4,000 seats, will all go to Pieta House. So it's a €10 donation to reserve a seat, and if you're up the north, because they've got cinemas up there as well, it's £7, and all the money
goes
to
Omniplex.
Is
Tuesday week, 6:30.
6:30 p.m.
And this is your kind of, why Goodwill Hunting? I would have gone for something else. I would have gone for, what would you have gone for, Paul?
Of Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Certainly that would be one of the best.
But you
can't really go for Insomnia or One Hour of Photo as a kind of tribute film, because they're just too, he's too
they're
nasty
dark.
In them. Like,
yeah,
you know, right.
They're not representative of the Robin Williams that people remember.
Well, then
as
hold
well.
On, Mrs. Doubtfire then, or
Mrs. Doubtfire is a different debate. Man dresses up as woman after a divorce to see his kids. I don't know. It's a stranger film, I think, on reflection. But Goodwill Hunting is the movie that we're going to go for.
It's a solid choice because he is very good on it.
Oh, all right.
It's and it's quiet Robin too, which is appropriate.
And you mentioned all the stuff that had been written during the week, and I actually thought, I'll bring a quote here. Russell Brand writing about Robin Williams. He says, at the very end of his Guardian article, it goes, "What I might do this week is watch Goodwill Hunting. I might be nice to people, mindful today how fragile we all are, how delicate we are, even when fizzing with divine madness that seems like we'll never expire." So I think the best thing
That's
you can
nice,
do
yeah.
is to go and watch Goodwill Hunting, and as
it's
I say...
It's a nice tribute. Do you know what I noticed is that a lot of younger people don't even know about his stand-up, you know, which was seen a lot in the 80s, and a lot of people, they haven't seen it. And he was almost frightening in the stand-up. Now, you know, how he kept
as
himself
in
going...
rapid-fire, make it up as he goes
it's
along.
It's so manic and brilliant, and how did he do it? And half it seems to be made up and coined and everything on the spot. Mm. If anybody hasn't seen any of them, they should look at them. It's extraordinary.
So I've never seen Mork and Mindy until I had to see one.
Wow,
I was interviewed
that's great
one. I had never seen it. Where
Shut
was
that.
I between 78 and 92?
Where were you, Dave?
Or 78 and 82.
You were on the radio.
I was, yeah. Are you a Mork and Mindy child?
Massive. I remember, Channel 4 used to show it in the mornings. So when you're on your summer holidays from school, they literally showed the entire Mork and Mindy back catalogue.
Sorry,
I mean, that was like 10 or 15 years. This is during the summer holidays.
All right. Okay.
All right. And obviously, when you're sort of hanging around all day, you would watch lots of Mork and Mindy. But no, the weird thing is that the Robin Williams, we'll describe it as a phenomenon this week. The outpouring of genuine affection from it has crossed so many different boundaries. It seems to be devoid of any real cynicism, which you get with sometimes when major figures pass away and everybody's expressing their condolences. But this is genuine outpouring and love for the man, and it crosses so many different boundaries from young to old. So I think it's been a very heartening and positive reaction to his passing.
Well, you should read Donald Clark in today's Irish Times, say why people indulge in recreational grief over Robin Williams. He's not given out necessarily, but he's kind of slightly, isn't
yeah.
he's making some good points, though, you know, and Princess Diana and bringing all that kind of into play in terms.
Well,
of
there was a touch of that, and also it was the lead story at night. It was the lead story in the morning after, but then still the night after was, which is unusual. Like, there were other things happening in the world.
You just want this to go after 12 hours.
It's not that. It's just that it seemed kind of almost there was a touch of the Diana's not, but
I know. But how many
it, but
generations did he straddle, and how sad was it, and how many comedies here? There was, as you say, the dark ones 10 years ago, one hour photo. And
he's impossible to find comparison with as an actor and performer.
Okay, but listen, Paddy, there it is. This is you doing this, and it's because of all your fantastic followers on Twitter.
No, I just put up the question on Wednesday night. If Irish cinemas across Ireland show this, will you go out? And everybody said resoundingly lots of RTs.
Okay, I'm going to give it again. That it's Goodwill Hunting simultaneously. Pieta House is where the donation goes to, 6:30 p.m. And check out your Omniplexes all over the country.
Yes.
Good man, Paddy. We'll see you at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Cheers.
After Larry Gogan, even more famous than you. Now, Paul, tell me, what's happening movie-wise on the big and small screen? Like, get out. Tell me, Paul.
You're finished. Yeah. Well, the two fairly big ones this week are The Expendables 3.
Right.
And a film called The Congress, which is kind of an interesting
experiment. Should I put my hand up
experiment?
And say I've actually seen Expendables 1 and 2? I shouldn't be saying that. I haven't seen 3,
though.
You
should though. Deny it.
you can't beat. What's his name? Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, the Laurence Olivier of the action the Expendables. World, is not in this one.
And
actually.
He goes, no, I'm a lone wolf. And then later on he's with him. He goes, well, sometimes I like to hunt with the pack. You can't beat Chuck.
It's anyway, the way he tells him. He's not in this one. No. I can't remember, as I was saying to you there, I can't remember anything about the first two. They're completely indistinguishable to me. I remember people being in them, Sly and so on and forth. But this third one, like, you start with the premise that it's irredeemably stupid from start to finish. It's kind of a pastiche of 80s action films like the
that
first two.
That can still
were.
Be 100% enjoyable.
It's affection. The first two did really well,
yeah.
Box office wise.
This third one,
which has got a bit of a hammering from the critics so far, it only opened yesterday. Like, it's silly, very silly, of course, but I actually enjoyed it more than the first two, so far as I can remember.
Wow, so I have something to look forward to. I've heard it's crap.
The plot is really, you know, perfunctory in the extreme.
Do I really want to know? Okay, go on.
Well, I'll tell you anyway.
They come in and save people who are being...
So, Sly is Barney, the leader of this group of mercenaries, and they have a new problem, this... kind of drugs.
It's not the same problem.
This arms dealer and war criminal called... He's played by Mel Gibson. What's he called? Stoneback, I think. He was presumed dead. He's an old comrade of Barney's, and he turns up, and isn't he alive, Dave? And he has been selling arms to everybody. He's a very nasty person. They keep handing around this portfolio of all his misdeeds, which we don't really get a look at. And everybody
like the letters of transit.
Yeah, that he's so horrible. They have to go after him. He's so worried. He sacks his old team, Jason Statham and so on, and hires a bunch of young people, but they get into trouble in Romania, and the old guys have to come and get. That's the plot.
All right.
But the reason it's kind of enjoyable for a while is that every now and then acting breaks out. There's a couple of actors in it. Kelsey Grammer, of all people, Fraser, is in it early on as this kind of procurer of talented mercenaries, and he acts, and he's very good in it. Harrison Ford is good fun.
And you know why Harrison Ford is in it? Because Bruce said, give me a million a day and I'll do it. And Sylvester said, go take a run and jump there.
And Harrison
Mr.
said,
Willis.
I'll do it for whatever.
Harrison said, I'll do it for half or whatever.
Yeah, well, he's actually good fun in it. He has fun with it. He enters into the spirit of it. Mel Gibson is good at being crazy people for whatever reason, and he's quite good in it. And Antonio Banderas, who basically plays Puss in Boots, basically a kind of live action version of that, right, turns up as this very chatty Spanish mercenary who wants to join. Can I please join? Can I please join? And bits of it are quite funny.
That sounds
pretty
good.
I kind of enjoyed it.
All right, okay. So unlike everybody else who's given a thumbs down, you're at least thumb sideways, if not
have
thumbs
committed
up.
Now,
Expendables 3. By the way, the one here says, I always remember watching Good Will Hunting for the first time.
Yeah.
And stay to the very end listening to the amazing Elliot Smith track. That's right, yeah. Miss Misery and all that stuff, yeah. Anyway, go on, tell me, what else is on the big screen?
The Congress. I don't know if you saw this Israeli filmmaker Ari Folman's 2008 film. Was called Waltz with Bashir.
And
it was brilliant.
It was
amazing.
Strange animation.
An
stuff,
animated version account of the Israeli invasion of Lebanon in 1982. Very good. Yeah. This is another film from him. It's more mainstream in a way, but it's quite bizarre, and it's based on a science fiction story. And it stars Robin Wright as a kind of fictional version of herself. She's this struggling, aging actress, and she's called in by her studio, and they have this great idea. If they let her digitally scanner, she can retire with a lot of money and can never must never act again, and this kind of avatar version of her will appear in all these films. So she's kind of given no choice, and she takes the deal. Then 20 years later, she's invited to this kind of futuristic congress where, and basically the film enters animation at that point. It stops being live action, becomes animation, and it's quite spectacular to look at in a strange sort of way. There's a kind of Gilliam-esque mood to it.
And does it work?
No.
Right.
It doesn't. It's interesting, but it doesn't. It ends up seeming pretentious. And Robin Wright is fine in it, but she's not half as good as she is in House of Cards, the Netflix thing where she plays the kind of Lady Macbeth. Have you watched any of that?
I watched up to number 3 in season 2. It's brilliant. She's amazing.
She's great in it.
Frightening.
But she's less to work with here. It's an interesting film, and it would be interesting to look at, but it doesn't quite come off.
And it doesn't come off because of the two genres? All over the place?
Not that, just because the plot is thin and it's just all a bit pretentious and, you know.
All right, well, that's The Congress, not thumbs up. So what's for home viewing tonight?
For home viewing, DVDs? We have. Did you see Under the Skin?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I know that you fall on either side. I'm sorry. I know it was everything you would want for those. I didn't like it.
You know, it's funny. I thought you were going to say that, Dave. But,
am I predictable? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, it's not that. I just thought that you might not be a few. It is. It was a divisive film. It's kind of art house horror, but I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's in it.
There's no doubt about it. It was disturbing. It was haunting. Yeah. The images were great. There wasn't much talk in
it.
The music was good.
Don't you?
I do. And the black goo stuff. What was going on there?
Nothing good was going on in there.
Nothing good.
Basically, Scarlett Johansson plays this kind of alien sort of seductress type who's kind of a siren who calls unfortunate Glaswegian men to their doom, and I thought it was brilliant, this film. I think it's really worth looking at, but it is quite extreme and it's pretty disturbing. It's almost like a 70s British horror film, isn't it, in a way? Well, I thought it was great, and she's doing great stuff at the moment. She's in Lucy, the Luc Besson film, which is out next week, which is very interesting, by the way, and I don't like Luc Besson.
Yeah, okay, so go on. So tell me just exactly what it is again. What
she's
does she
this
play?
Alien sort of succubus or whatever. She
succubus.
She,
wow.
Yeah, you get the big words, don't you? It's a bit early for words like that. She kind of lures Glaswegians to their doom. Whatever they're doing with them, the aliens need them, and she calls them off, and in they go. It's an amazing film to look at. She kind of grows a conscience halfway through, and I thought it was tremendous.
Okay, just as a matter of interest, the minute I start saying things like, what was it about, or else, what did you get out of it?
There you have me.
Yeah, you see, does it have to be about anything? Like, I've seen movies that I don't know what the hell is going on, but they're great cinema.
I mean, it is about something. I suppose you could call the plot thin in the way that the Expendables plot is thin, but it doesn't really matter. It's all about what it looks like, and you're drawn into it. There's great music as well, and mood and atmosphere.
Yeah,
I loved it.
And it's disturbing.
So
watch yourself.
Yeah, it is. Look after yourself.
Okay, that's Under the Skin, Jonathan Glazer. I didn't like his other stuff either, by the way.
No, neither did I. This is way better
Sexy
than
Beast and
done.
The other one.
No, way better than that.
Yeah. Okay, well, what else is on DVD?
Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
How many Marvel films have there been at this stage? Who knows?
No, I tell you how many there are going to be. I believe there's two or three a year for the next 5 or 6 years.
Well, they'll still be coming out long after we're gone.
But
this is the second Captain America one. The first Captain America one was clever and was good, I thought. And it was about the kind of the 1940s wimp who's given this drug and becomes Captain America. He was frozen in time at the end of the first one. Conveniently, he wakes up, it's now. He's confused. There's mobile phones, there's all sorts of things to get used to. And there's also...
He being Chris Evans,
who's really good in it, and it has a sense of humour, and it does what it does.
On the tin. Alright, good enough. Fine. Okay, so Captain America's, Under the Skin, most definitely for you. In fact, it might be a good DVD one in some ways.
I don't think it would suffer too much. Yeah, it's good.
Absolutely.
It's good.
All right, well, listen, Paul, thanks a million. Paul Whittington, it is. And